So just a few announcements before we go into the word. Tuesday night we have Furnace, which is our worship and prayer gathering. With the Zoom connection link is the same as every week, but we'll put it back out again on Father's House and Freedom Fire Ministries and our personal Facebook pages for those that are on those. So that'll be Tuesday night at 7:30 for Furnace, our time to press into the heavenlies for the things of God's heart in these days. And he says, you know, where two or three are gathered, I am there in the midst. And when you ask me, there's nothing you ask me that I will not give to you. So again, we got to press in for the process of receiving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next Sunday, we'll be back here. Same time, same place, same connection. We'd love to see you all back here. For those of you that are watching on Facebook Live, you can join us on Zoom. If you'd like to come into the actual gathering itself, you'd be more than welcome. Otherwise, it's great to have you on here, and you're very welcome this morning. For those that want to give their tithes and offerings this morning, you can go on to freedomfireministries.com.
Yes.
.com. And on the homepage there, if you scroll down the homepage, there are a few different ways to give. You can give via CrossPay app, and you can give via PayPal, or you can send a check, if you prefer to send a check, to 3 Bure Close, Christchurch, BH234EE, and just address it to Freedom Fire Ministries. Also, you can go to fathershouse.co.uk, and the same on there, you can give via CrossPay or via PayPal. The CrossPay app, you can actually download onto your phone. It's how we do all our giving now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's easy. It takes 2 seconds. So I just want to invite you to bring your tithes and your offerings into the house of the Lord this morning when we complete our service this morning, and just give unto him as he would have you give. Also, if you would like to be a partner of the ministry, please email us and we will give you further details of that. You can email us to Father's House, office at fathershouse.co.uk. Yes?
Yes.
Yay! And
you're getting so good at this.
I know. And just send us a little email about just saying, I'd like to partner with you. Same for Freedom Fire Ministries. If you'd like to partner there, it's the same, Freedom Fire Ministries office@gmail.com. And just drop us a line and we will send you some information on how to partner. We're trying to raise up and we're believing God for partnership so that we can take the word of God into the nations in this
Yay,
season. So
come on.
We believe that it's good soil for you to sow into. We're working on putting together a few online schools at the moment. So that takes finance as well as us. So we would love you to partner with us. If you believe in what God is doing with us and through us, then please email us, contact us, and we will send you out some information on that. We would love you to join us in partnership. So yeah, Father, we just bless your word this morning.
Jesus.
We bless your word to run swiftly through the nations this morning. We bless your word, God, to accomplish signs and wonders and miracles this morning. We bless your word, God, to be the prophetic utterance of God this morning. We bless it to go deep into our spirit, deep into our soul, God,
Jesus.
that it would work a transformation within us, Lord, that we would become that which you have designed us and fashioned us to be. Lord, that we would become the image of Jesus, that we would become his likeness here on the earth for this generation. So, Lord, we bless your word. We bless Andy, God. Fill him with your fire this morning.
Come on.
Let your spirit rest upon him, Lord. Let your words flow like rivers of living water, God. It would flow from his innermost being this morning. We release it, Lord. Let the sound of your voice, let the sound of your word go forth with power in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Yeah, well, welcome this morning, even those of you visiting, those that are on Facebook Live. I just want to welcome you this morning. You know, years ago, I used to go out to a farm, my uncle's farm, and they had no water running inside of the house. So part of what I was asked to do was go outside and bring in a bucket full of water. But, you know, to get the old pump working, you actually had to take the lid off, first of all, and pour in some water so it would actually cause the pump to prime as you pumped it, and eventually the water would come out of the well and fill the bucket. So I'm just going to prime the pump this morning.
I didn't get any.
Oh, are you missing out?
Yeah.
So, welcome everybody. You know, these messages as well will be on Freedom Fire Ministries website. So that's freedomfireministries.com. And if you go to the audio page and select 2020, it opens up before you and you can go through all of the messages and listen back to them. On the left-hand side is if you click the orange writing, it's an MP3 that you will hear. If you go to the right-hand side of the page, it's the video link to the YouTube. And so you can watch and replay all of these as many times as you want. And so, but if you go on YouTube, there's one thing I want you to do, and that's click subscribe and click the bell beside it so you get a notification when the next video comes up live to YouTube. So you can, we want to get to a point where we've got so many people subscribing that we can actually alter some of the stuff that we can do on YouTube. But it takes quite a number of subscribes before YouTube will let us get to that point. So we're praying and calling in subscribers to YouTube channel, so we get to do more, we get to cover more, and we get to hit more in the nations. Amen.
Yeah, I know.
So it's a good day, isn't it?
Yes.
I heard that from one person, and I've seen reactions from some of you other people, so it's good. So I want to talk to you today, and there's certain things on my heart that I want to get through. I'm not even sure of the order that I'm going to take this through, but I'm really going on what I'm sensing in the Holy Spirit this morning that the Lord wants to put on the table before you so you have a good meal, that you enjoy something of the word of the Lord, but also that you take away with you a memory and something that connects you with your God. You just don't walk away today and become like, well, by 2 o'clock, it's all gone straight over your head. And the words you're thinking, your husband's going to ask you, well, what was that about this morning? No, we want something good this morning. So you get fed, but it's not about the feeding. It's about taking what is given for yourself and applying it to you so you get to change the area of influence that you walk in right now, right here, right in this earth. I want to take you just first of all, as we get into this, I've got a little video to start us off, and you may think, well, what on earth is this about? I'll explain in a few minutes. So watch this. Let me move this over a little bit so I can get my share button. So, have you ever seen that before? Rams fighting to gain their territory and to gain their dominance over the other ones in the pack. That is just so significant. And I wanted to show you that because that video ties in so well with what we want to look at this morning in Psalm 75. So, if you've got your Bibles near hand this morning, or electronic or good old-fashioned paper, which I prefer, then open it up to Psalm 75 today, and we're going to look at that and see what it is the Lord is actually talking about within the Psalm. There is so much good news in this psalm. It's unbelievable, but it's actually a rebuke as well. But it's for us to benefit, to learn from, and to grow into who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen? So it's all good. So Psalm 75. So verse 1, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. Men declare your wondrous works, hallelujah. And the women, because that's, I'm taking that as both men and women. We're not segregating here. We're not going there. And in verse 2, when I select an appointed time, it is I who judge with equity. The earth and all who dwell in it melt or fade away, become fearful. It is I who have firmly set its pillars, Selah. I said to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high, and do not speak with insolent pride. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed, and he pours out of this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. But as for me, I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob, and all the horns of the wicked will be cut off. Yeah. But the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. Come on, that deserves an amen this morning, because God is good all of the time. You know, so when we look at this here, I'm talking about the horn. I want to talk about the whole area of lifting up the horn. Now, you can lift it up in two ways. You can lift it up in an insolent and an arrogant way, and you're promoting yourself, a bit like the ram that wants to take over the herd, and he will fight to take over. He will fight to gain his position. And so you see, even in the last part of that clip, that he was scraping the ground and sniffing at the earth, pretending that he was, you know, distracted by something in the ground, and then he rises up and comes in with the charge. And that is so typical of some people in the world today, that they want to charge at things and they want to butt in because it's in them, and they're prideful, they're arrogant, and they're puffed up, and they puff themselves up and come at what they see in front of them with an attack. And so that is not the way of the Lord. So the Lord is actually warning you, don't lift up your horn. Don't be prideful. Don't be boastful. Do not be arrogant. You know, because he is clearly telling you in Psalm 75 here, it's verse 6, for not from the east, nor from the west, nor out of the desert, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. If you want to, in the kingdom, gain ground and grow with God, then you need to be humble before him. You need to be ready that he will take his time and he will bring you through a process, a bit like what Sharon was talking about yesterday on her little video about the olive produces oil, but to get the oil, it needs pressing, it needs squeezing. It has to go through quite a process to extract the oil, to extract the good out of the brokenness of the olive before the pressing happens. And so God sometimes puts us through seasons of training and equipping, and sometimes it feels like you're being crushed. Sometimes it feels really awkward, and it is not a nice place to be, but out of it comes something beautiful, out of it comes something good. And so we learn as believers how to, in the scenarios that we face in life, how to look to our Father and say, Lord, what is going on? Father, what are you up to? Because when you get that confirmation back from God, what he's up to, it's so much easier to face the storm, to face the waves, and to face that crushing scenario that you find yourself in, because you know that he is all about walking you out into a new area, a new arena, and a new lifestyle that's somewhere that you haven't been before. He has you in the process to mature you and bring you out as a victor.
Come on.
You know, a bit like Joseph. Joseph's dream caused him to be thrown in the pit, caused him to be thrown in prison under Potiphar, and caused him then to be elevated before Pharaoh and became the second in charge of the whole of Egypt, over all of the food and a lot of the wealth of Egypt. But he started off in a pit because his dream, what he felt from God, led him into a pit, but the experience taught him. He gained wisdom, gained strength, and came out of it stronger, and God positioned him to the place he was taking him to. And sometimes we look at the journey and we want to give up. But the Lord says today, don't you give up. I am on you for a reason. You have my plans and purposes growing all around you. He says, come to me, let me open your eyes and show you where you are and how we move forward together. It's about togetherness with him. You know, so the Lord is doing something. So we don't want to be prideful or boastful, but we do want to be that boasting in the Lord. Because verse 1 says that, we give thanks, for your name is near. Men declare your wondrous works. So it is a declarative thing that we learn how to make declarations about who we are in God and where we're going in this next season. And we're going to do some of that shortly in this message. Because I believe part of what I want to share this morning is where I'm sensing we're going as well. So I'm being declarative and I'm being a forerunner, declaring some of the things I'm seeing at the minute, that I think we're on the cusp of something amazing. And God has us in a process. 2020 has been a process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you hear verse 3, the earth and all who dwell in it melt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you ever known the world to be in a scenario of fear? It's like the world has melted,
mm-hmm.
And that God has got the attention of the world, because every nation of the world has faced this problem, has been shut down. We've been wearing masks. We've been just fearful as nations. What do we do? Who's going to bring the answers? And it's like the earth is groaning out at the minute. Where are the answers? Well, the answers with our God. He is the provider. I mean, he is the creator in the first place of what we live in. And I love this. And the end of verse 3 is, it is I, the Lord God Almighty, who have firmly set its pillars. The pillars of the world that God has set will not be rocked, will not be pulled down, cannot be destroyed by man or any virus or anything else in the world. So we as the church, we as believers, know our God. We stand in his promises, and we know that he knows the end of this, and that he is leading us as a people out of this valley into a position of strength. But in the midst of this process, he is bringing change, and he is bringing the whirlwinds of the Lord, and he is in the whirlwind.
Amen. Come on.
He is changing. He is twisting. He is in the twister, and things are about to change. And so you got to look for him in the process, because by doing that, you begin to see your way out, because he is already moving. It's up to us to see him and to follow him and to go where he wants us to go. Now, there's things happening and things shifting, but I want to carry on with this first of all. Because verse 8, for the cup is in the hand of the Lord and the wine foams. Now it says that even the wicked, in the next part, will actually drink its dregs. Have you ever been to the bottom of a glass of wine and you look at it and it's lovely and red and stuff, but in its little black particles, and that's like the dregs, the drains, the very end of the barrel of the stuff that they've used to make it. Now I'm not no wine connoisseur, but I know enough that there is sometimes dregs and like the rough stuff at the bottom. It's a bit like tea bags in the bottom of a cup when we used to have the old loose leaf tea. And so there's dregs in a wine that it says that even the wicked will drink the wine that has the dregs in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think the Lord is saying that the wicked are so consumed with their getting that they will take whatever is available to try and quench what it is their desires are pushing them from the inside. And sometimes they will even take stuff that will not taste good, But they will take the dregs over and above nothing because they don't know what they're looking for. They haven't found their father yet. They haven't found their creator. And he is the one that's calling their hearts saying, come to me. I mean, you can get someone that is gifted, someone that writes an amazing song, and it gets all over the world. But their lifestyle is completely off the wall, but yet their song somehow and the words of it can connect you to God and creation. Now, it's not the fact that the demonics at work in their life, but you've got to remember the fact that that particular person has been made in the image of God. They just don't know the encounter of finding him in reality and where he shifts their life out of the darkness that they're in and takes them down into the journey of life, light, hope, joy, peace, and getting rid of all the burdens and the heaviness that you've been carrying in life. And that's where the Lord wants to take you. If you don't know him this morning, then this is the opportunity. You can say yes to God this morning. You can say yes to Jesus Christ to say, come into my life. Live, because he promises that his spirit will come and live inside of us, will be our guide, will be our deliverer, will be our strong tower, our rock on which we can stand on, steady ground in an uncertain world. And all he asks of you this morning is that you say, yes, 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 Jesus, I will take you as my savior. I want you to be my friend. I want you to lead me because I have not seen a good job in my life to date. My life has to change, and I am changing with you today, and I am saying yes to my hope. I'm changing yes to my future, and I will say yes to Jesus. And that's what you do this morning. Even as I've been speaking, you can be doing that. So if you have, send us a little message, email us, go onto the websites, and actually let us know so we can contact you and talk with you further. Amen. So God is good. He is a good God. There is no doubt about that. But number 9, verse 9 in this 75th chapter of the Psalms, it says, I will sing praises to God of Jacob, but as for me, I will declare it forevermore. What are we to declare today? What are you going to declare today? What is it that you think this verse means for you to declare? God has called you. God has chosen you. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But in the verse 10, it said, and I link this verse 10 in with Revelation 14, 13. And you can look that up later because it's about the wrath being poured out at the end times. And all the horns of the wicked will be cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. Now that is good news, folks. First of all, it's good news that he holds the pillars and he stabilizes the pillars that he put in place. They will not be rocked. But at the end of this chapter, it's saying that the horns of the wicked will be cut off. Amen. Now you looked at those horns that you've seen in that little video clip. They are pretty sturdy. They're made of good, strong stuff. But the Lord is actually saying that he will cut off the horns of the wicked so that they lose their ability to hit hard and to buck and to come against God, because the wicked want to come against God because they don't understand who he really is. And so they don't understand the love that he has for them, and they have let bitterness and roots get in their lives that have distracted them from the real and the reality of truth that God provides. And they have missed the mark because they don't know God. They have not surrendered their life, and they're like pride and upright and come at him, attacking him. And it's like many pictures that you see of the devil, of Satan, are all of him having horns on. Who is the one that comes against and butts against God at every chance he can? It's the enemy. It is Satan. He is the thief, the killer, the destroyer, and he is out to destroy everything that is good from God. He is out to mimic it and to actually distract from the truth, but he is coming down because God says and promises here that at the end, his horns will be removed. He will be stripped of all that he has, all that we know him as, and he will be spending eternity in a fiery lake, the pit of hell. That is his assigned position. And that's why the Lord says to us as the believers that we crush the head of the serpent under our heel. We stamp on him. Our position before Christ is to take authority over the works and the destruction that the devil brings, and we get to release heaven on earth. You know, we all pray the prayer, "Let it be your will, Lord, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth." And we pray that prayer without thinking about the strength behind those words. It's a declarative word, and we're saying, "Lord, whatever's in heaven, we're calling it to here, to operate on this earth right now in this season." There is a horn. Do you know a horn speaks of the early biblical Jewish shofar? It was one of the original abilities to actually sound a sound. And you get a great example of this when you look and you read the exploits as the children of Israel crossed over into the new land and they came up against the walled city of Jericho. And for the 5, 6, 7 days, they marched, paraded around. But on the seventh day, they released a sound, and the sound of the shofar was blown. This is a great ability. I borrowed this of a friend of mine so we could just see that this is a horn. This is a shofar. This is what it is. And the old times, they would have, you know, and I'm not going to blow it because I've heard that it can do a lot of damage to the Zoom meeting. So we're not going to blow it this morning, but we are called to release a sound. We are called to blow our trumpets. We are called to actually release a sound in the land to impact where we live and to bring change and to bring God into every sphere of influence in our city, in our governmental structures, and into our nation. You know, that is who we are. So we got to believe
it. Interesting that the sound of the shofar can mess up the Zoom, that can mess up the sound that we try to create. Yeah, we can play our guitars and all that kind of stuff, but the sound of the shofar can actually blow the thing. There's a sound that is released through this instrument that is heavenly, that is a declarative thing that speaks of power and authority.
You know, and in verse 3, the end of verse 3, there's that little word put in there called Selah. Mm. Now, Selah is defined as a Hebrew word that has been found at the ending of verses in Psalms and has been interpreted as an instruction calling for a break in the singing of the psalm, or it may mean forever. You know, so no matter, it is a pause to think. It is a pause to stop what you're doing and to think and to digest, to meditate on what has just been talked about. So men declare the wondrous works. The men and the women, we are called to release this sound today. There is a sound from heaven. And, you know, the Lord speaks about that some of the hidden secrets of the gospel will be revealed in the end days. We are in the end days. And I believe that the Lord is bringing revelation, not, it's like the scriptures are coming alive and we are seeing things that we have read for years but not understood the full biblical implication for us. And now those truths are being unveiled. He is the God who can reveal to us the treasures of the hidden places. And, you know, he is just so amazing at that. So we are in an amazing situation, an amazing time before God. You know, a horn was referred to in the Bible also as used for to carry the anointing oil. And you see that in 1 Samuel 16 and 13, where Samuel went and anointed David as king. And he anointed David as king, and the oil that he used, he carried in his horn, in the ram's horn. And then there's chat in the Bible also of a horn of plenty, which was a provisional horn, which they used to put fruit, vegetables, and stuff from the land in and carry it. And that was why it was known as the horn of plenty, because it was full of provision for the journey. Amen. And so we also know that it's the horn of my salvation. That is Jesus. You know, he's my stronghold and my refuge, my savior. You saved me from violence. So if we're taking this whole psalm and we're trying to bring it into, we're not going to be prideful, we're not going to be like the world that rise up to butt and to come against what God is trying to do, but we are the one that stands against. We are prepared to also do the butting and to say, no, this will not cross. I am here as a servant of the Most High God, and this is our time where we get our say,
yeah.
And the Lord God Almighty is saying, I have such a harvest of souls that I want to see my children won into my kingdom. Those that don't know me as their father, I am saying I will cause you to arise and to stop what's coming against, what's coming out of the evil one. And we are the buffer wall. We are the butt that the Lord is going to use in this next season to actually take us into a season of destiny, because every single one of us, as you know, has been born with destiny in us. God did not create anything that was not intended to grow, to burst out of its seams, to need bigger, to need better, because we are not called to be a shriveled down, held in a little isolated church building and have no say, no voice. We were designed for the exact opposite. Now, if I'm to ask you this morning, the Bible says you are chosen. Have you ever asked yourself, what are you chosen for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on.
What are you chosen for?
What is your purpose?
What is your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Why were you chosen? He didn't choose you because it was a good idea. Although he does love us, but you're chosen, and chosen things are chosen to carry out a purpose and a plan. So you need to be asking God, what is my purpose? What am I chosen for? What is my play role in this next season that's coming fast upon us? It's going to come like a whirlwind. It's going to overtake us. And the Lord is preparing us, giving us signs right now that saying, church, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because what is about to be unleashed is my plans. And you have been chosen by me to actually operate in this next season. You need to know and find out from me what it is, where is your position, what are you called to do, and how do I get there, God? How do you equip me, God? Because in me, God, I am saying, yes, my heart is beating yes. I am saying, God, come. I want more of you. I am so hungry for you. I want all of you. I will give up everything else around me to concentrate and be totally devoted to you. So I do not miss the mark. I do not miss what I was chosen for. I do not miss what I was chosen to accomplish before you come back for me. You know, so the church has got a great belief of the Lord coming back to take us away. But the church sometimes has got such a great belief in the return of the Lord that it forgets that the Lord has empowered us, equipped us as his bride to accomplish, not to quiver and hide away, but to accomplish, to take territory. We were called to go into the promised land. We were called to fight for what was there, to make it ours. And the same cry of the Lord is still today as it was then, that we arise, church. We waken up from our sleepiness and our worries and our fears, you know, because the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, we are to be renewed by the renewing of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
So every fear that comes against us is a battleground that sometimes we give into, but it is a pressure point coming against the renewing of our mind to make us more, to have the mind of Christ. And so I don't know about you, but since I've been on this journey with Jesus, I am not the same person. I don't perceive things the same way. I don't look at things as how I used to, because I have changed. And I'm putting that down to the renewing of my mind, that I'm becoming day by day more like Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're called to. We're called to, when these fears come in and the worries and the tensions come at us, we're called to rise up like the ram and butt it and say, you ain't of the Lord, and
not
I
on
will
my
not
watch.
Accept what you're trying to place on me, because I have the mind of Christ, and I am saying heaven comes to earth to accomplish the will of God, and I want to walk in those pathways, not in the old natural pathways, which bring me down, hold me in, destroy my hope, and make me give up before I've actually achieved. You know, so we all know the story of the caterpillar. The caterpillar's quite happy going along, munching on the leaves, getting fat. And then all of a sudden, this shift happens, and he's inside this chrysalis, getting squeezed, crushed, and growing to what is to be his future, a transformation, a breakout of where you are, and you get out of that chrysalis, and you fly like the butterfly. Butterfly. Yeah, that sounds like a bread spread, doesn't it? So you're designed for something. You're designed not to be destroyed in the chrysalis under that pressure, under that crushing, but you're designed to come out the other side, a transformed, renewed person that's not on the ground anymore eating the leaves, but takes to the skies, that sees things from heaven's perspective.
Come on.
You are called. You are chosen.
Yes.
And you have a plan and a purpose over you. You need to start digging into this, folks, because this is your future.
Amen.
You were called. The word of the Lord has been given to you. It's all there. It's in the word.
Jesus.
And you need to dig it out. You need to search for it. You need to go after it. But you need, first of all, that you need that awakening to come upon you.
Jesus.
You need to be like James and Peter and that were on the Mount of Transfiguration. It says they were asleep. And then all of a sudden, there's this shift happened with Jesus. And Moses and Elijah turn up with him. And it says that Jesus shone. Now, in that instant, the next thing it says is that the disciples woke. I reckon it was the brightness of the glow, that lightning glow that came out of Jesus that awakened them. They realized and sensed the presence of God in that cloud of glory, and they realized that something more was going on. And then it was the Father that spoke over the Son, wasn't it? And he said, in Luke 9:35, then a voice came out of the cloud saying, in the midst of this transfiguration event happening, the Father speaks, this is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. So Jesus was chosen, but before he left, he passed the baton onto us. He told us we were chosen. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You did not choose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Are you getting it? He is chosen of his Father. He passes the baton to us, and we are the chosen ones. And appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. We have got design and purpose built into us. It's actually screaming inside to get out. And so you want to get fired up, you want to get actually blessed by God. Do you know that the Bible refers to us as salt and light? We're called salt and light. What's the kingdom referred to? Come on, some of you Bible scholars, what's the kingdom referred to? It says that the kingdom is referred to as leaven. What happens with leaven? Leaven gets mixed in, it's yeast, it gets mixed in with the dough, and it can't be taken back once it's mixed. It's in its process. How does the process get completed? It enters into the fire. The fire is coming, folks, and the bread is about to smell, it's about to release its fragrance, it's about to grow and expand in the heat of the oven, because God has a plan and a purpose for you.
After
he is creating.
After the crushing,
the kneading,
and the kneading, and the pressure.
And it all comes through the process.
It's how the yeast gets worked into the flour. Otherwise, you'd end up with pizza bread. But the yeast and the working and the pressure and the molding brings forth the bounty of the bread, the expansion, the transformation.
Yeah, because it actually says here in Matthew 13:33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, my bread maker, and did three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. But the leavening of the dough and the preparation process is all to be placed into the fire to create it to grow. We were created to handle the fire of the Lord. Yeah. We were not created to be normal. We were not created just to live life and get through and wait for Jesus to return. No, we were created to be a victorious, valiant warrior system that the Lord is calling to arise, to awaken out of its sleep, and to come to the place of the cross to say, Lord, I'm fully surrendered to you. This world is not my own. This world is somewhere I'm passing through, but I am content to actually know in my heart with peace that I am going to be with you for eternity. And whatever you need of me now, Lord, in this season, here on this earth, let me know, because I want to walk with you. I want to be empowered by you. I want to know the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through my veins,
yeah,
that when I lay hands on the sick, they will get well, that there will be nothing that will stop me. I will become an unstoppable move of God through the presence of Him operating and flowing through me out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I want to change this town that we live in. I want to change this community. I want to change, and I'm saying this is what you should be saying. I want to change Christchurch. I want to change the nations. I want to start with England. You start at your Jerusalem. Let's start in Christchurch. Let's bring a change to this town, because what we have seen operating has not been working the effective way. Now, that's the bread. I said to you that we're called as salt and light. Salt and light are what? Well, the Bible says that salt is something that you sprinkle over your meal to make it savory and tasty to your palate. So you use your salt. Did you know that salt was the process of the Roman soldiers, how they get paid? So you can understand the weight behind what Jesus was explaining in this, because that particular group of people would have understood exactly what Jesus was referring to, the value that salt has, that is a valuable commodity. Lymington here used to be one of the biggest salt mines in the UK and transported salt all over the world, a few miles down the road. That's just by the by. But salt and light. So how many times have you gone into a restaurant, you've had this lovely meal set down in front of you, and you've went to lift the salt cellar, and some person, I was going to say idiot, but some person before you has partially unscrewed the top of the bottle, and you lift it and it all falls over your dinner. Do you think that would be a good meal to eat? No, because the salt becomes too much.
Mm-hmm.
And the church, up until this point, we have been hiding away because we've adopted in our psyche this verse that's in the Bible saying, come ye out from amongst them and be ye separate.
Mm-hmm.
And we have withdrawn ourselves from the very place that we were meant to be in to influence and to bring kingdom principles, kingdom values, to change nations and to take. So when you actually have too much salt, we've been guilty as the church. We've poured the salt on the side of the plate.
Well, and it's a big concentrated block of salt.
Yeah, and we come together and we worship together. And I'm not knocking any of this. I love it. I think it's amazing. But we need to reconsider how church operates, that we can still come together as the salt, but we're not designed to be the salt on the edge of the table, because it's too much in one area. So even in this 2020, God's beginning to stir us to rethink,
mm-hmm,
and to relook at how church operates, so we become the effective gospel carriers,
mm-hmm,
that carry the power, the authority, and that we get to do exploits, that we are called to be sons and daughters of the living God and let His life flow through us to hit others that don't know Him yet. So if you look at that, and then you look at light, Matthew 5:14, ye are a light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hid.
Mm-hmm.
We are not designed to be hidden. We're designed to be on the top of a hill, so people know if I get up there, I see that place aglow. I see the glory of the Lord over that temple. And if I can get there, I know I will have found peace. I will have found place of healing. I will have found a rock that I can stand on. I know that I will be safe, that I will enter a place of security, a strong tower, a holding place. of those that love the Lord. And so there's a drawing that happens when a light gets to the top of this, the city light gets to the top of the hill. In the darkness, the light will stand out, and those that are seeking God, seeking for change and needing change, will make their way to that place, because it will be a refreshing, it will be the new life that they desire, and they will come in their hundreds to find it. You know, so we want to be not the salt that sits in a big clump, but we want to spread into the community. We want to spread our salt so we influence and we create that tasty palate in people that they will want to come to know this Jesus that we already know. So we want to be out there. We want to be the transformers. We want to be the changers of society. We want to be the ones that go to our neighbor that has a need and meet the need. We want to just love on people like Jesus called us to do. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And let's win a community for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let's get out there. Let's stop hiding and being the big clumped up church mm-hmm. that has not really been effective. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, God has still always been on the move. And God is now moving his church. I believe this season that we're in has been a good season. It is something that has made us stop, mm-hmm. sit back, sila, mm-hmm. pause, mm-hmm. relook, mm-hmm. reset, reevaluate, and restore what mm-hmm. we've lost. What I mean when I say restore what we've lost, we have lost the power of the blood of the risen Son of God that he gave us to operate in signs, wonders, and miracles. Church, mm-hmm. repentance means we need to turn around and we need to say sorry more times than we probably care to. But we need to get to a point where we say, sorry, God, we have missed the mark again. We have sidetracked ourselves into programs and systems, and we have missed the very fact of coming hard after you, seeking your face, because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Then all these things will be added yeah. to you. Church, we need to repent of where we have been, because we are not operating as how God intended us to operate. We are not winning souls as many as we should be. We are not changing our society as much as we should be. We are not impacting our nation in governmental systems. Now, I'm talking about more than the seven mountains, taking all these fears, and that is great. But if us as individuals don't rise up into our God-given chosen appointment, then we are all missing the mark. And we will trundle on hoping for him to return rather than rising up as the warriors and the called ones that we are to adopt that and to actually flow into the whole place of the Romans, Romans chapter 15 and 13. Now may the God of hope, may the God of hope, God is hope, fill you with joy. You, if you're not living a joyful life, then you're not living the abundant life. So something's off kilter. You need to question your heart and refind your central position, refind your way back into the life stream of God and his flow. Because it said, of God, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. We need to get back to the point of believing that we are a group of people that operate in a system of believing faith. And if we're not activating our faith, then we're just walking along like everybody else. But God brings a challenge to you to actually to take on the challenge of faith. What is it that's impossible for me but is possible for God? Can I stretch myself to get there? Will God actually provide for me? Sorry about that. Will God actually provide for me? Yes, he will, because he's longing for you to rise up into your sonship and your daughtership. So God is good. Somebody's trying to get us. Maybe it's the Lord trying to get our attention. There's a call, Jeremiah 33, call upon the Lord while he may be found. Come on. God's speaking this morning in the midst of all these calls. God's telling us, watch out, get ready, get ready, get ready. So he said here, and all joy and peace in believing, believing Christians will do exploits, will take the nation, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit power You will abound in hope. Hope is God. God is in hope. And if you are, the Holy Spirit is in you, then you've been given hope from the Father, but you've got to share it. You've got to give it away. Freely you've been given, freely you need to give it away. Now, I'm going to play you another little video clip here. And then I want to just wind this up. Let me see it. Where is it? Let me see. Here we go. Just watch this. Count them. Right.
Can't come too late.
If you missed the counting, of what that was, then I'm telling you that there was eight ships. There was eight ships lying off our coast right now. Eight ships. What is number eight? New beginnings.
Come on.
Those ships
New
are
vessels.
Empty.
Waiting to be filled.
At present.
Ooh.
But I feel that the Lord is speaking here. As the nation of the UK, we have empty ships sitting off our beaches. We have a harvest that's about to come. And I believe these ships are here as a prophetic symbol calling us to awaken, to understand that the Lord's saying that when these ships return, they will come carrying. They will come with people coming to the UK to find Jesus. Mm-hmm. They are a prophetic sign of life force, of a drawing that's about to happen to this nation. And that's why God is telling us today, get ready, get ready, get ready, because he is coming. What we have known as comfortability is about to shift and change. When God moves, you will be struggling to run to keep up with him. But it will be such a glorious time that you will want to run with the horses, because they will be his horses and they will be taking the ground. God is in the place of actually restoring, bringing back, calling in. Now, I heard yesterday about a revival hitting the Americas, in America, and the people in the church was gathering and they were praying, and the pastor stood up and read out a note from one of the ladies in the church saying, would you please pray for my husband? He is a man that's into drink, he is into gambling, and he has not got any intention for God. And said, I'm asking you as fellow believers, pray for my husband. And the pastor stood and said, I think we need to pray for this man. And he was just starting his prayer. And in the prayer meeting, this man stood up, said, I'm that man. And the pastor was shocked, because this was a prayer meeting. Why did the Spirit of the Lord draw someone that was unsaved into the prayer meeting? Because God works in miraculous ways. Not only that, did that one man stand up, but eight others followed him in an outbreak and also put their hands up, said, I'm that man, I'm that man. In a prayer meeting, folks, people came wanting to find Jesus, wanting to find salvation, wanting their lives to change. That's what happened when revival hits your prayer meeting, when revival hits your nation, when people repent and want to turn around. And first of all, we need as church to repent of our wrongdoings and where we've been and where we've missed the mark, and get back to recentering, refocusing on Jesus, and to accept all that he has put in place for us to use to win this harvest for the Lord. The ships are here, folks. They are nothing but a forerunner, foreteller of what is about to come. Doesn't Isaiah 61 speak about the ships of the nations will come to our shores? I'm not quite sure of the of scriptural reference on that, but I feel this, I sense this. This is the Lord saying, get up, get off your sleepy butts and get ready, because you're about to enter in to a new season, a new arena. You think that the corona and this virus has been a shift and a change. You ain't seen nothing yet, because when glory comes, when the God of hope comes, shift happens, because he is after the fulfillment of the number of his bride that he is coming back for, and nothing, because he has set the pillars. Remember, God has set the pillars. His plans and purposes will not be knocked off. And so God's coming with an intentional plan to return for a number of believers that are going to come in this next season. The billion soul harvest and beyond is about to start. And we are being called as a church to repent, to recommit, resurrender, and get ready for what God is saying. The ships are here, folks. In 2015, I prophesied about the shift that happened, and that the fish that wanted to be caught were going to be coming and jumping up onto the shore, onto the pebblestone beaches of the south coast, because they're going to be hungry to be caught. And so I see these ships out of the shore, and it reminds me of what the Lord spoke. Even back 2015, he was preparing and gently saying, I'm nudging you. And now these ships I see as a prophetic sign saying, this is so much closer than what you think. And so nations are coming. Nations are here. They come to Bournemouth because it's one of the world centers for learning English, for foreigners learning English as their language. And so we already have nations here, but I feel that the ships are a sign that more are coming, and that God is being intentional from now on, and we need to be intentional. We need to change our heart position. Stop worrying about us. Stop praying for our 10 little petitions of God, and turn around and say, God, what do you want? Where are you leading? What is your plan? I want to pray for what you want. Let heaven come as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth. What are you intending that for this season, Lord? What is your will? So with that, I've got one thing just as a finish up. There is a website that has just been launched. I think you should see this. It's by a guy called Ed Silvoso. Quite a preacher in America, and that is the website ecclesiaeverywhere.com.
Write it down.
You want to get on board with this.
Or screenshot it.
This has only been put on from the beginning of September. This is fresh off the ground. So this is what Ed Silvoso had from the Lord on June 27th, 2020. Ed received this warning from the Lord. There are 90 days for the church to get in the public square. If it doesn't, the nation that you know will no longer exist. Whoever is there will determine the future of this nation. I say no, that we will determine the future of the nation. It's not for other people who are not of our God to determine where we go in our future. But 2 years ago, prior to this, in another country, the Lord woke Ed up early in the morning and said, Ed, I'm growing impatient with my leaders, because everything they ask of me, I give it to them. Bigger churches, bigger anointing, bigger ministries, bigger businesses, but they are not asking me what I want to give them. So I asked, what is it, Lord? And the Lord replied, I want them to ask me for nations.
Come on.
I want nations.
Come on.
I want the seven mountains, and I want the marketplace.
Jesus.
And if they don't do it, I'm going to do something dramatic to happen. So that's it. So that you want to get on that website, there's a Facebook app called Ecclesia Everywhere. You can go on that and click like and join that as well. But they actually have a couple of things, of parameters that they ask for. One is that you commit to sorting your life out with the Lord, you commit to prayer, you commit to pursuing God, and you commit to actually taking 10 people on that you know in your circle of influence that don't know Jesus yet, and pray for them.
Come on.
call salvation, call the Spirit of the Lord to be released over their lives, and go after them, pursue them, and let's see the harvest beginning. It starts with us, folks. It doesn't start with big stadium events. It starts with the hungry for the lost, compassion rising in your heart, and allowing God to flow through you, and let's see salvation flow like a river. So, folks, this has been awesome to share this with you this morning, but it's like you just need to hear my heart. It is time. It's time. It's time. And we need to be ready. We need to get ready for what God is about to unroll, reveal, bring in like a whirlwind, however he chooses to do it. We are being called today. Will we say yes? Will we allow God to come and move us and position us to take this nation for him?
I just think we have 13 people on here at the moment, just on our Zoom, never mind the people that are watching online. If each of you took 10 people, just what's here on our screen, if each of us took 10 people, not including the ones that are watching, and we took 10 people and prayed for them and saw them come to Christ, that's 130 people for Jesus.
Come on.
130 people for Jesus. Just by taking time to concentrate on 10 and being purposeful and proactive about prayer and showing them love and bringing Jesus into the mix and just believing for their salvation. 10 people, 130 souls will be won by this small little group. And
come
all
on.
The people that are watching, I know this is going to get hundreds of views. If this is you today, let's press in for Jesus. It's who we're called to be. Let's take 10 people and let's pursue their heart for the Lord and see where we are begin to be transformed for him. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want you just to lift your hand up right now and only speak this out if you're intentional. Don't do it otherwise. So I'm going to speak a declaration over you, but I want it to be your declaration as well. So it's like corporately we come together and we make this declaration for as we move forward. Amen? So Father, right now in Jesus' name.
Father, right now in Jesus' name.
I declare. That you are the Almighty One.
That you are the Almighty One.
That you have wondrous ways.
That you have wondrous ways.
And I want to promote your ways.
And I want to promote your ways.
Over and above my ways, my lifestyle.
Over and above my ways and my lifestyle.
I surrender to you.
I surrender to you.
In everything.
In everything.
In all of my life.
In all of my life.
I give it back to you.
I give every arena back to you.
Like I did when I first said yes to you, Jesus.
Like I did when I first said yes to you, Jesus.
I meant it. And I want my heart to mean it once more.
And I want my heart to mean it again.
Let my surrender be the voice.
Let my surrender be your voice.
That declares the goodness of a good God.
That declares the goodness of a good God.
Over the people I rub shoulders with.
Over the people I rub shoulders with.
Over the people in Christchurch.
Over the people in Christchurch.
Over all of Bournemouth.
Over Bournemouth.
Over this nation that we live in.
Over this nation that we live in.
That we will declare.
That we will declare.
The Lord's pillars.
The Lord's pillars.
Do not shake.
Do not shake.
They're immovable.
They're immovable.
And your ways, O Lord.
And your ways, O Lord.
Are what we want.
Or what we want.
What we desire. What we need, Lord.
What we need, Lord.
That we as church, Lord, forgive us.
That we as church, God, forgive us.
For our sleepy laid down attitude.
For our sleepy laid down attitudes.
Awaken us, O Lord.
Awaken us, God.
That the bright light of transfiguration.
Let the bright light of transfiguration.
Once again hit your church.
Once again hit your church.
And that the voice of the Father speaks.
And that the voice of the Father speaks.
These are my chosen ones.
These are my chosen ones.
My beloved.
My beloved.
So we bless you today. That the Spirit of the living God that's in you bubbles and gets activated. But activation comes from us. We start the activation by us bringing our lives back into that centrality of the cross, repentance, renewal, refreshing. We all need it, folks. Even me as a pastor and as leader, I desire a refreshing of the Spirit of the living God. I desire a flow of the river of that fire just to be all over me, to shake me to my very knees, to even bring me to the floor for 3, 4, 5 hours onto the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I am a different person. I have a different perspective, that I'm no longer concerned about me and the things around me, but I am concerned about the totality of the gospel and how we reach and win the lost for Jesus in this next season. That it becomes that paramount focus in our lives for the season that we are now entering. And the ships are here, folks. The ships are here.
Amen.
So we bless you today. Have an amazing rest of today. And take time with the Father. Be still and know that I am God.
Mm.
But in the midst of the stillness, recalibrate.
Mm.
Reset.
It's a new season.
And get ready to roll with what God is about to flow through you. Flow through you in this next season. There are no losers in this. There are only God-given winners, because he builds nothing without the intent of it being and accomplishing what he sets it in motion to do. He said his word will not return void without accomplishing that which he sends it forth to do. We are part of his spoken word, the bride, and he's coming for us.
Raise up your horn.
Yes.
Raise it up against the enemy. Raise it up to praise the Lord. Raise it up to establish his kingdom on earth today.
Blow your sign. Let the sign that is in you come out.
Amen.
We break it forth right now in Jesus' name, that you from this instant have a change and a power encounter with the God that you serve. Love you guys.
Amen.
We're just going to drop off Facebook Live here right now. And...